Psalm 119, and we're coming to the seventh part with the Hebrew letter Zain. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud hath had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. And the word declined there is the idea of being turned around. So he's not been turned around from the law. Verse 52, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me, because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. The seventh letter, Zain, equivalent to our letter Z, though, as you can see, it's in a very different place in the Hebrew alphabet than in our English alphabet. Some say that this particular letter relates to a hammer, and if you can see the symbol in your copy of the scripture, you can see that it does resemble something like a hammer. One of the most important words beginning with this particular Hebrew letter is the word remember. And three out of the eight verses in this section in the Hebrew begin with that word. And so verse 49, it begins with the word in English as well. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Verse 52, I remember thy judgments of old. And verse 55, I have remembered thy name. And so we think of the idea of a hammer. As you're hammering, you're going against that nail continuously to drive it in. And in remembrance, isn't there this idea that the words are being hammered into our mind? At least we are seeking to hammer them into our minds through repetition. We are desiring that through the striking of the hammer that we would be caused to remember. Now, as I've said, verse 49 begins with the word remember. And verse 50, both in English and in Hebrew, begins with the word this. And then down at the end of this section, verse 55, again we have remember. And verse 56, this. And so both at the beginning and at the end of this psalm, we have the words, remember this. Now, the book of Lamentations also has a number of acrostics. Lamentations chapter 3, there are 66 verses in Lamentations chapter 3. And for each letter then in the Hebrew alphabet, there are three verses that are assigned to it. And the letter Zain, this section begins in Lamentations 3:19, where we have the word remembering, remembering mine affliction and my misery. Verse 20 in Hebrew also begins with remember, my soul hath them still in remembrance. And then verse 21 begins with the word this. And so again, we have this pattern. Remember, remember this. This I recall to my mind, or this I cause to return to my heart. And in Lamentations chapter 1, verse 7, again, we have the word remember. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction. And you'll see at the end of that verse 7, it makes mention of the Sabbaths. Now, as I've said then, Zayin is the seventh letter of the Hebrew letter, or the Hebrew alphabet, and so the number seven, since these number or these letters not only correspond to letters but to numbers, this letter Zayin then corresponds to the number seven. And again, we see another amazing harmony in the Word of God. The Old Testament Sabbath was the seventh day. And in the moral law, how does the fourth commandment begin? Remember. Remember. As I said, this word remember is one of the most significant words in the Hebrew language, beginning with this letter Zayin. Remember the Sabbath day, which in the Old Testament, of course, was looking to creation, the great creation rest. And today, as we observe the first day of the week, we rejoice, we remember the great redemptive rest of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in creation, the Sabbath day was declaring creation's work is finished, Christ's resurrection declaring that redemption's work is done. And so, under the gospel, we come to his table. The Lord says, this do in remembrance of me. Again, it's this Zayin. And as we come to the table, isn't there this idea of the hammer, that the great truths of Calvary are being driven afresh into our very souls? We are not to be in forgetfulness. I have remembered thy name, O Lord. And so we'll think of a few lessons through this particular section of the psalm. First of all, God is faithful to remember his own word. God is faithful to remember his own word, and this gives us cause to pray. In verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Now, God can never forget his own word. And the prayer here is that God would fulfill the word that he has spoken unto the writer of the psalm. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And so here there is this idea, God has spoken to me. There's been a word from the Lord. This is not just something theoretical. There has been a word from the Lord, and as the Lord has spoken, I've placed my confidence in the veracity, the truthfulness of that word. And now in my time of trouble, I rehearse that promise back to the giver of it. I remind the Lord of what he said to me. And this is a very vital part of prayer. The Lord wants us to claim his own word in prayer. The Lord wants us to bring his word, as it were, back before him. Remember the word unto thy servant. So it's the word of the Lord that has been given to the writer, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Praise God. God does not forget his covenant, and we are to pray that he would not. Genesis 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah. The Lord had never forgotten Noah. But it's this idea that the Lord fulfills to Noah what he had said, what he had covenanted. Genesis 19, verse 29, God remembered Abraham. And it's in the context there of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham and his tents were not destroyed because God remembered Noah, or Abraham rather. The covenant that God had engaged in, that God had entered into with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God had not forgotten. Genesis 30:22, God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And again, God had never forgotten Rachel. But this idea of remembrance, the Lord comes and fulfills his word. When the children of Israel were in slavery and they were groaning, Exodus 2:24, God remembered his covenant. God remembered his covenant. Psalm 98, verse 3, he hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. And so we are to rejoice this evening that the Lord does not forget his covenant. But as we pray over our own lives and over the lives of our families, we are to come and we are to plead with God afresh on the basis of his covenant word, on the basis of his great promises. Remember the word unto thy servant. And surely we are saying there, I have not forgotten. I have been holding on to it. And I plead that it might be fulfilled. Those words surely in the verse 49 ought also to be words that would trouble the ungodly. While for us, God's word has caused us to hope, the warning word of God is one that ought to bring great consternation to the ungodly. Remember the word unto the ungodly. A word of warning. Revelation 18:5. Her sins have reached unto heaven. God hath remembered all her iniquities. God has not forgotten the sins of the ungodly. Praise God, he has forgotten the sins of his people. They are put away from view. God has not forgotten the sins of the ungodly. And God does not forget his warnings. And indeed then, we are to be in horror as we think of what is before them. Verse 53, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. And chiefly then, the horror is in seeing the attack upon the glory of God. As we see the hardness of the sinner's heart, horror hath taken hold upon us. But then also, in a secondary way, there's this horror in seeing what lies before them. God has not forgotten their sin or his warning. But then I want to say, secondly, God never forgets to comfort his people. God never forgets to comfort his people. Verse 50, this is my comfort. So the word comfort is another one of the key verses of this section. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Verse 52, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. And comforted myself, of course, is not that we have the ability to comfort ourselves because of ourselves, but I've comforted myself on account of the word and on account of the God of the word. I remember thy judgments of old. And as I've thought then upon the word of the Lord, as I've brought it to mind, that has been the comfort. Like David, as he looked at the city where the women and the children were, as he thought, and he saw the smoke, and there were those that turned upon him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. We encourage ourselves in the Lord and his great promises. In verse 50, this comfort is reviving. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me, brought life, enlivened me, revived me, took me from my slumber. And the Lord is a comforting God. There are times we feel the hammer of affliction. But every time there's the hammer of affliction, the Lord is swift to comfort. This is my comfort in my affliction. I want to see then, thirdly, that God's people see a bigger picture as they remember the Lord in times of trouble. In verse 51, the psalmist said, "The proud have me greatly in derision. Yet have I not declined from thy law." And so the psalmist can see the wickedness of the ungodly. The ungodly would rejoice to see the saint suffer. The ungodly would rejoice to be able to steal away our joy if they could. And if it wasn't for the Lord, they would be successful. But the psalmist says, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." I've not abandoned the things of the Lord. I've not turned my heart away from the law of God when I see and experience the attack of the wicked. I may be tempted to. But the Lord's people in times of trouble see a bigger picture. They see the Lord is sovereign even over the wicked. The Lord is sovereign even over the words of the proud. And as such then, they are comforted, knowing the Lord is in sovereign control. Then I want to say, fourthly, remembrance brings great song. Verse 54, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. And songs, generally speaking, are words that we sing many times over. And of course, the songs in Scripture have been given that we might sing them over and that they might then be in our remembrance. But as we remember the Lord, then his songs are to come to mind. "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Verse 55, "I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night." Sometimes there are those nights when there are many other things pressing in upon our minds and sleep would be stolen away from us. And yet here the testimony of the psalmist was, "I have remembered thy name in the night." Wasn't this the experience, verses 54 and 55, wasn't this the experience of Paul and Silas? The Lord's statutes were their songs. They remembered the Lord in the night. As we have remembered the Lord's name then, and may it be so, it is to bring great song. But in the time that's left, I want us to think of Christ in this psalm. In preparing these messages, one thing struck me like never before in reading Psalm 119, that so much of Psalm 119 seems to be Christ anticipating his own resurrection. And again, I feel that is coming out so clearly in this section, Zion, of the psalm. If you look in verse 49 again, "Remember the word unto thy servant." And remember, the servant, the suffering servant, is one of the great titles of our Lord. "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." And Christ anticipated his own resurrection. Remember in the upper room, he said in John 14, verse 19, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you." And Christ then, in going to the cross, did not go in a state of hopelessness. Christ saw what was before. And he very definitely could pray then to the Father, "Remember the word unto thy servant." As the servant in Isaiah 53 is the suffering one, and he certainly is the suffering one. Yet that great prophecy also foresees that there will be the resurrection. In Isaiah 53 and the verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And Christ could anticipate then that on the merit of the suffering, there would be a seed. Verse 12, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. He hath poured out his soul unto death. There will be the great reward. How is the reward going to be given? On the basis of the resurrection of the Lord. And as the great promise then of Isaiah 53 and those latter chapters of Isaiah was given to the servant, Christ can pray. Remember this word upon which I have been caused as a servant to hope. Verse 50 then, again reading this in the light of Christ in prayer, this is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word hath quickened me. And Christ can testify that through his ministry, as he faced such opposition, he had been quickened, he had been enabled to continue his ministry, and he's looking for this coming quickening, the raising of his body from the grave. Verse 51 again, so clearly fulfilled in Christ, the proud have had me greatly in derision. We think of the enemy and the cry at the cross, and yet these words that follow are absolutely true of our Savior. Yet have I not declined from thy law. In no sense did the Son of God turn from the law despite the action of the wicked. I remember those words in Hebrews 12:3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Sinners were entirely unreasonable. And yet in that, Christ, remembering the comforts, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Verse 53, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. We think of the Garden of Gethsemane. What horror our Savior endured as he sweat, as it were, those great drops of blood. He saw the wickedness. He saw our wickedness. He saw our law breaking. Horror took hold. He saw the bitter cup, yet he said, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 54, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And our Lord, through his ministry, as he tabernacled in that earthly body, the Lord's statutes were his song. As he made that awful journey to the cross, the Lord's statutes were his song. In verse 55, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. Again, was that not so evident there in Gethsemane? Verse 56, this I had because I kept thy precepts. Christ perfectly kept the law of God. And so we come right back then to verse 49. Remember thy word, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And Christ continues to pray in glory. He's praying that all his elect ones would be gathered in. He is praying that his own would persevere. The Father has given a promise. The Son has cause to hope. And it will all be brought to reality. And therefore, as we seek to persevere in our own Christian lives, we take these words and we pray over them afresh. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to all of our hearts.